The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Kiefer and Curry show right here on TKR. You can hear this show at least 5 days a week right here on the TKR app. Of course, we run it live 5 times a week, and we also can play it whenever you want to on our podcast. We're available on any major podcast platform, you name it. Of course, also check us out on ABC 3340 for the starting lineup coming up on Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We'll be 6 weeks out from college football season coming up August 24th. Is that what it is? August 24th. It's weird because do we do week zero now?
Week zero. And the big game on that day, Tony, is Georgia Tech and Florida State Dublin, Ireland.
There you go. There you go. And then the following week is when we kick it off. That'll be the Clemson Georgia week. And of course, our show will butt up right against that. So that early SEC game on ABC Disney is going to be huge. So we're looking forward to that. We'll talk a lot of college football and obviously a lot of sports. I know you're a big music fan, and I saw the story.
Oh, man.
I want to share a story with
huge.
You. That is one of these stories where I'm scratching my head, and I'm thinking, how in the world is this even possible? And then I want to ask you if you've ever been affected by the same thing. 75-year-old fan in Cleveland, Ohio, yesterday was reportedly scammed out of $122,000 by an online imposter posing as Steve Perry.
Oh, man.
According to WKYC, in January, the woman responded to a Facebook message from someone claiming to be the band's former lead singer. According to Westlake Police, the fake Mr. Perry had a business opportunity and, of course, needed a woman in his life, in quotes. According to the police report, over the next several meetings, the woman sent the Perry imposter $27,000 in wire transfers to various persons in various different states designated by Perry through her bank, as well as $50,000 in gift cards. When the imposter began demanding pictures of her passports and driver's license, the woman realized she had been scammed and went to the police. They're attempting to track down and find who this individual is. Upon hearing this, Joe Elliott of Def Leppard came out and said, listen, I want to warn all fans against online imposters. He said, it's really starting to piss me off. He offered some blunt advice about how to spot these scams. He goes, I don't need your money, okay? I would never, ever ask you for money because my wife's divorcing me or my leg fell off or I need a glass eye. It's complete and utter horseshit. Anyone who sends you an email claiming they're me, or they're going to take you on a date, or they want to bring you over to my house, or they need cash, it's a scam. Get over yourself. Realize it's a scam. $122,000, $72,000 in wire frauds, $50,000 in gift cards. She only thought that maybe it was a scam after he started asking for her picture of her passport and or her driver's license. I'm not sure. I'm not a scammer, so I don't know what you would possibly get out of having that information outside maybe her social security number. I don't know. So first of all, I wanted to talk about scammers, and then I want to ask Kip Kiefer, have you ever been scammed in your life? I'm sure at some point you have been scammed on something, whether it was someone doing a card trick out in the back of an alleyway or someone took you for some money. I can name one time where I actually got scammed for $1,000, and I can't believe it. It was one of those situations where, again, if it seems too good to be true, and not only sometimes, it's always too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, it is always a scam. It is never. I got something the other day through my messenger on Facebook. And it was a listener who I evidently follow because, you know, if someone follows me, I'm nice. I follow them back. And as long as I've got room, I don't know who the hell they are. Right? I've been doing radio for 40 years. And if someone's nice enough to follow me, I'll follow you back. I don't go look through all their posts or see if there's some neo-Nazi something or other. I just follow them back, whatever. I'm fine. I'm good. And then in a couple of months, I just delete them because I need to fill up, you know, my space. And so this guy direct messaged me. And the only way to do that is to obviously follow me, and I follow him back. And said, really believe in what you do in your life. I know that you have done a lot of things for charity. I know about your son and a couple other things where if you listen to my radio programs or you listen to TKR, you can pretty much know who I am. I talk.
Yeah. You're not, you are definitely transparent.
Yeah. There's nothing There was nothing on there that was, you know, like how in the world would that guy know that? And said, in these tough, hard times, it's been really, really difficult on everybody, but I've been really blessed in my life. And I would like to send you a gift of $1,000. And he even went as far as to say, you know, I know you have some children, and I know you talked about, he had heard me talk about my dog on some show or something. And I heard your things are a little tight on cash. And I would just like to send you $1,000. I've been a constant listener of yours for a long period of time. And I figured it's the least I could do. And I've got the money. So I would like to send you $1,000. Well, I'm thinking to myself, okay, sound too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, let's just play with this a little bit. So I text back because, you know, who am I to take a blessing out of someone's hands?
Yeah.
You know, someone wants to bless me with something nice. Who am I to sit there and defer a nice gift from a listener that obviously I influenced in some way. Maybe I inspired some way in my life, maybe through my charities or whatever. And that's very, very nice. And I said, that's a very, very kind of you. And so I just started asking some questions, and I had his first and last name and asked him where he was from and what he did for a living and how he was so blessed. And while the answers were kind of short because we were on Messenger, nothing, you know, no revelations here, nothing like, you know, awe inspiring. And, I basically said, you know, with Venmo and with PayPal and with all these things now, you don't need to give anybody anything. He said, I need to know what your PayPal account is. I'll send it to your PayPal. And I said, great. Because if someone sends you something on PayPal, they don't need to have your phone number. They don't need to have, I can find your PayPal account. You can find anyone's PayPal or Venmo account. All you got to do is search it and it'll pull up their account. And what's the harm in saying, you know, he said, will you send me your PayPal account? And mm-hmm. I said, I'm not sure what it is, but you can look it up. And my name's Tony Curry. You can look it up. Sure you can find it. And he goes, great. Now I'll do that. And then I'll send you the money. Have a God bless day. You know, enjoy your summer vacation, blah, blah, blah. Well, about a half an hour later, I get this message again. And it says, did you receive your money? And I said, no. I said, I have not received anything, but I've been really busy and I'm super busy and just took the high road. I've not received blah, blah, blah. Please let me know when you received my $1,000, da, 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 da. And then there was, I may have an issue with my PayPal account. Something's wrong with my PayPal account. I may have to go through a Cash App. Do you have a Cash App? And I said, I have Cash App. Well, can you tell me what your Cash App? And again, I don't know how scammers work because I don't know what he's trying to get here. But yeah. Obviously he is laying. And at this point I knew, okay, this is horse shit. And it came all the way down to like the third or fourth thing. And it was a crypto thing. And I can tell you right now, if anybody who you don't know needs any type of crypto information, it's a scam. I don't know how to
absolutely.
I'm not saying crypto is a scam. I'm not saying cryptocurrency is a scam, although I think it is. I know it's real and I know it's out there and I know people use it. Okay. I know it's a real thing. And I know some people have been scammed by it because anytime there's a new way of using money, if the federal government all of a sudden stopped printing the money we have today in our hands and our pockets and said, we're going to print brand new money starting in 2025, there would be some huge scam. They would be coming out. It'd be like A Quiet Place. Those monsters would be coming out of every corner. The roaches would be coming out and everyone would be trying to scam you for all the money you got. There'd be new cash. That's why they don't do it. It would be chaotic at best. So he's asking me for crypto and I'm like, okay, this went from really appreciate everything you do. Think you're a hell of a nice guy. Love your kids. Want to send you $1,000 to, okay, I've been really blessed. He ain't got a Venmo account. His Cash App don't work. And now he wants a crypto account. And he even said something along the lines of, you can go check my crypto account here and send me a link and see what my account information is on it. So you can see when the money's being transferred from my account to yours. I mean, these pieces of shit. I mean, this is, and again, I'm a 58-year-old with a good heart. And I'm thinking, and I got lured in. I got lured more than I should have. And at that point, I knew it was a scam. Yep. But I was like, and I didn't want to, you know, I was like, dude, stop already. I'm not this 75-year-old from Tupelo, Mississippi, who thinks that you're really Steve Perry. And so at that point, I didn't respond. And then I started getting these, where are you? Why haven't you responded to me? Did you receive my money? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, because at that point, I don't even know what they can. Sometimes I think just by being, you used to watch the old TV shows and someone would be trying to wire your phone line. And
yeah.
You'd have to get them on the phone for at least 20 seconds so you could wiretap them and know what their GPS was. Keep my line for 20 more seconds so we can track the phone line. We can see which payphone it is on 4th Street or whatever. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think just when someone has you engaged in social media on the phone or whatever, somehow they're getting information from you despite the fact you're not giving them information. I don't know what it is. It's like if I can get you on the phone for 30 minutes, it's like I can get anything I want from you. I don't know. There's got to be something, right?
Yeah.
So I let it go. Never heard from the guy again. Never got $1,000. And even for a brief second, for like a half of a millisecond, I thought to myself, well, you know, maybe he couldn't find my information. You know, maybe it was under something different. Maybe something's wrong with Cash App. But, you know, I'm sitting there trying to make up a story in my head to give this guy because I could have used $1,000. And, you know, the fact that I spent, you know, more than an hour and a half or 2 hours of my time probably going back and forth to this knucklehead, you know, because there's one thing that you never get back in this time. But,
yep.
You know, so first of all, I wanted to get your thoughts. I think scammers, people that do these things are just, I put them right there with child molesters and murderers. I really do. I think they're just scum of the earth. I just think they're pieces of shit.
They're the worst.
They really are. And you know, we have a prison overloading issue in this country. We've had it forever. And there are special places for these people, these wire fraud scamming pieces of crap. Unfortunately, they're not a threat to society as far as I'm trying to kill somebody, but they're to me as dangerous as anybody because they're really hitting. I mean, they're worse than the guy that, you know, steals the candy bar from the 7-Eleven, because they're doing it in large amount. And I'm thinking to myself, this 75-year-old woman just been duped of $122,000. I can only make an educated guess and say she's probably a retired woman. It was probably all of her savings. And she actually thought that Steve Perry wanted to have something to do with her. Okay. So first of all, I don't want to call her an idiot because I'm like, because I know I it's amazing because, you know, most people, you know what this reminds me of? People that have ever been in a cult. Have you ever met anybody that's ever been in a cult or been in an organization that wasn't really a cult, but I mean, it was really close.
Yeah.
And then they look back on there going, they go, what the hell was I thinking? The whole Kool-Aid dude where they killed those people. They had some story. Yeah. They had some story on the other day and they had one of these people that was actually part of that cult. And the dude had a wife, three kids, worked for IBM, super smart. And was like, I cannot believe I got duped into this.
And went to Guyana for God's sake.
It was just amazing. It was like he had this special power over me to make. And then next,
so you know, weird.
I'm moving my wife and family into these tents, and you're thinking to yourself, how could you possibly be scammed by something this ludicrous and this ridiculous? But it happens. It does. And people have goodness in their hearts, and they want to believe. And people that aren't leaders are followers, and we're always looking for something bigger. That's why, you know, Donald Trump can tell a certain number of people, go do this, and they'll do it for him. I mean, he could tell people to do whatever, and they would do it for him. It's scary. But so I wanted to get your thoughts on scammers. First of all, I wanted to know if you'd be willing to divulge. There was one situation I could look back on it, and I'll explain it to you how it happened. But after I explain it to you, I will sit there and look at myself and go, why was I so damn stupid that I fell for this? But I wanted to know if you'd ever been scammed, your thoughts overall.
I have not officially been. There's been a lot of very creative attempts. I'm really glad you brought this subject up because it's something I've been wanting to talk about. There's a commercial on that I see periodically for one of these firms that protect your identity and keep you from getting into scam situations. And it's about people that somehow acquire your social security number and can falsify documents and approach your mortgage holder to take out additional mortgages on your house.
I've seen that.
And basically steal your house from you because you don't really understand that it's going on, and you start getting notices that you're late on payments for three or four different mortgages, and they end up repossessing your house.
And it could be like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw that. I did.
So this commercial, and Tony, nothing on TV irritates me more because they use a guy that I know is real. He's not an actor, because I saw a portrayal or a story on him on some kind of news show recently that the government is using this guy who's a former professional scammer to try and figure out other scams, and so I guess in theory he's doing something good now, but he's kind of scamming the government because they're paying him for his expertise. But in this commercial they say, and I forgot what his first name is, Mark Cox or something, that goes, scammers like Mark Cox, and here's this guy's whole face, and he goes, people don't understand, and he's talking in this jovial voice, they don't understand that they can lose their house. People say, well, nobody's going to take my house. He goes, he's laughing. He goes, you have no idea how easy it is. Mm-hmm. And it just burns my backside to watch this guy who's just a smart ass gloating about how he was able to scam people and steal their house. Imagine that. And then the worst part of that commercial is they have some other stiff in a suit that everybody thinks that there's too many layers of bureaucracy to go through. And this guy says, I'm the county clerk for so-and-so county. Doesn't say what state or anything. He says, and what you need to understand is if somebody brings in the paperwork and it's all filled out and notarized, we have to accept that. Even if we suspect it's fake, we have to accept it. The statute demands that we do this. And I'm going, that's total bullshit. If that is true, and they're desperate. So the non-scamming commercial, I think, is trying to scam people and scare the shit out of them into buying their service. Because if you can walk into a county clerk's office and present some kind of bogus paperwork and they take it and issue you the opportunity to go to a bank then with some kind of title deed that's not yours, I just find all that too unbelievable to even understand. So now there's a commercial about preventing scammers by giving money to these scammers. It's a never ending circle.
And they're all working together. They're all working together.
I'm convinced of it.
I don't know. There are factories.
Yes.
That are 50 football fields long, filled with people on phones, just doing these scams. That's how they make their living. They're in Taiwan, they're in India, they're all a third country. That's what they do. And we're talking billions and billions and trillions of dollars. And it's bad enough when you're coming after a guy like me. Well, obviously, I work hard and money's important to me. And obviously I have children. When they're going after, these pieces of shit that go after people who just lost a spouse.
Yeah, and old people are very vulnerable to this kind of stuff.
Oh, hey, listen, if you think to yourself, because a lot of old people, after the depression days, they saved everything, and a lot of them do have pretty nice nest eggs, and if you have somebody that's at a nursing home, at Danbury, or maybe they're in hospice or something like that, and they're spending $6,000-$7,000 a month, on a place like this. God love them. And that's wonderful that they have a place that they can call home. And I hope you visit them. And I work with facilities like this, and I think the world of them. But for these people to get mailing lists, to realize that this woman in room 412 at Danbury just lost her husband 2 weeks ago, and then they start sending her letters, "We're here for you. If there's anything we can do for you, blah, blah, yes, blah, blah, blah." And next thing you know, they're asking her for a certain amount of money. I've heard these stories about where people go in and they find their grandmother, and they find out that she's been giving like 50 different charities.
Yeah.
And 49 of them don't exist.
My grandmother was a brilliant woman, and we found out after she passed that she'd been given thousands of dollars to all kinds of scammers.
I mean, it's
and she had the money, so that was fine. But you don't realize. Let me tell you. You asked if I've ever been scammed. They came real close to getting me about 4 years ago on a Sunday late afternoon, early evening. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, my iPad screen lights up with alert, alert. You know, and it says Regions Bank, who was my bank, and it says you're account has been breached, and we suspect the activity is illicit. You need to respond immediately. And it was pretty effective, because in big bold letters it said Regions Bank.
Yep.
So it says press the link below to respond, which should have been the first hint, because I don't think Regions Bank's going to send me a link. No. So I pushed the link, because now I'm going, oh, you know, because I always worry. I guess I'm one of these guys that if I could get away with it, I just stuff my money in my mattress, because I the banking system, all computerized, I'm always a little shaky about all that anyway. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of protections in place, but anyway, I start filling out, it says please verify your information, and I'm filling out my address and my phone number, and it gets down to social security number, and it hit me. I said, why is Regions Bank asking me to provide all the information they already have?
Exactly.
And Tony, I was within, you know, four or five other places of hit and send, so they would, you know, save my money in my bank before I realized this is a scam. But just like you said, just by pushing that, just by clicking on the link, then I started thinking, well, shit, they're probably copying this as I write it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of panicked and called my son, who's savvy on all that. And he says, he pulled up Equifax and the two other big credit bureaus, or what are the oh, I don't know what you call those things, but anyway, I was on the phone almost all that night calling and putting an instant like stop on any activity, anybody applying for any kind of loan in my name, of the stuff that I had thought that maybe they were able to access just from me responding to the link. I mean, it scared the hell out of me, but it's something I think everybody listening to this needs to be aware of. No matter how legitimate it looks, verify that it's real. I called Regions that night. They said, we would never ask you to provide your social security number. Yep. So be wary of everything you get in this category. Don't fall for anything. Even if it looks like it's legitimate, it's probably not.
Yeah. You know, I get something from UPS at least.
I get that all the time.
5 or 6 times a week on my.
Yeah, your package is unclaimed.
Yep, your package is unclaimed, or you please click this link. I mean, that's the worst thing you do is click that link. It is amazing. I mean, I have had my not my identity stolen, but I have had money taken out of my banking account four different times. I've never lost my card. I protect my money. But it's always and. You know, this whole tap thing now, the old tap into pay thing scares the hell out of me. I people are like, why don't you have tap? I'm like, I've heard too many people who are tapping, who've had money taken out of their accounts. And like most of us, I don't look at my bank account every month and balance my checkbook. Sorry, I don't know anyone does that. Our generations before us used to do it. They used to yep. get their
down, yeah, to, the right down to the penny.
No one does it. Yeah, no one does that anymore. And so unless I'm like, I know I have $5,000 in my account, and all of a sudden I have zero, I won't even look at my balance until something else comes in, and I'll see it and I'll go, okay, this is where I'm generally starting, because I don't have that many huge expenditures. But yeah, and by that time it's too late. And I had something the other day. I had a 99 cent fishing lure that was bought using my debit card in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last week.
Hmm.
And saw it and thought, okay, it's 99 cents. What's the big whoop? 99 cents. Is it even worth my time calling Bryant Bank? And yep. You better believe it is, because they see that if you're not going to do the 99 cent, then next thing you know, it's going to be a pair of kids. It's going to be this. It's going to, next thing you know, it's
$999.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but unfortunately, just because it was 99 cents, I had to go through all the rigmarole, getting a brand new debit card. I had had several of my accounts tied to that debit card that was on auto debit.
That's a nightmare, because you're having to resupply them with new information. You're getting notices. Yeah. Your card didn't go through. And it's, oh, I forgot I had that on that card.
Yeah. Well, that's the only way. Sometimes that's the only way you could find out.
It's a giant pain in the ass.
It is the biggest pain in the ass. And it will take you hours to get through it just for a 99 cent charge. So I had something back, and this is back when I started doing, when I was working on Jocks, and I'm not going to name anybody, but you can take it. You can take a guess at who was part of this. Was not the instigator, but got me involved in it. Evidently there was a guy who was a former PGA player.
Uh-huh.
Who had, he had the opportunity to buy large amounts of U.S. Open packages for the upcoming U.S. Open. I forget where it was at. I don't remember. It was in 1993, 1994, something like that. And you could buy as many of these packages as you wanted at $1,000 a package.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going through a travel agency. And the travel agency would upcharge it to $4,000.
Wow.
So you were getting a four to one return on your money. If for $1,000, mm-hmm. you get $4,000 back.
Sweet.
Sounds like a hell of a good deal, doesn't it?
Too sweet.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you know, because you go buy tickets for a U.S. Open, maybe, you know, if you're not going on you know, one of these other accounts, these third place accounts.
Yeah, for sure.
They're probably $200 for a pair of tickets. You know, you get the hotel for 60, 70 bucks a night, and the whole package probably will run you about $1,000, and they're going to turn around, and they're going to flip it, and they're going to charge you $500 for tickets. So I'm thinking to myself, this sounds legit. The guy who is actually doing this said he was a former PGA player, and back then we didn't have internet. I mean, it was the early 90s, or maybe late 80s. It wasn't like I could just pull it right up. But it was probably a way I could have found out. And by the way, the guy was like 5'3". And if he didn't weigh a pound over 350, and I'm like, well, you really let yourself go there later in the tour day. He's like, yeah, well, you know, once I started spraying the ball, I just gave it up, blah, 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 blah. And so this guy ended up, borrowing my golf clubs. For a weekend, which I thought was kind of strange, because why is he borrowing my golf clubs?
I know some former pros. They've got like garages full of golf clubs.
I know, right? And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is he borrowing my golf clubs for? And so I'm in for a grand. And here's the other thing. And again, you start looking back. This guy was a waiter at Bob Baumhauer's Wings in Wildwood Center.
Remember
remember that?
That's
where I met the guy, and I met him through a third party who you and I both know extremely well.
Okay.
Which was another red flag, because this guy was always looking for a way to turn really fast.
I can identify a couple of suspects right off the
always. I mean, when you look at Ponzi scheme, his picture would be right there. And he was part of every damn scheme out there, and he was always looking for. And so, long story short, you know, we find out that this is a bunch of horse who I go down there. This guy writes me a check for $4,000 at a Regions Bank.
Yeah.
And, I said, you're going to follow me to the bank and we're going to cash this check right now. He's like, man, I'm sorry. It's taking so long. I've been really busy, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, that's good. Just write me a check. So he writes me a check. And of course, you know, I go to Regions Bank and there's no $4,000 in that account. And when I get back down there, the guy's gone and my golf clubs are gone too.
Oh man.
So I got duped for $1,000. But I knew other people, this other guy that I'm friends with got taken for $4,000. He planned on getting $16,000 back. Mm. And so looking back on that scam, I was kind of like, wow, you know, but at least, you know, it was a sports related kind of thing. I didn't think to ask anybody, but that was the one time I got super scammed. But yep. Again, you know, you look at all the red flags, look at all the signs.
Yeah. The bar in your golf clubs and working at Bob Baumhauer is not good indicators.
And I'm thinking to myself, what a dumbass I was. But all I was thinking about was, man, I'm going to have $4,000 in cash. And I think he even showed me like he had a briefcase of cash. I've been asked to be part of Ponzi schemes numerous times.
Yeah.
And then they're not called Ponzi schemes. They're always called something else. It's always
pyramids,
stock pyramids. I was part of a grocery store thing where you bought this grocery card and it's supposed to get you 35% off everything you'd buy from any grocery place you wanted to. And I'm sitting in this guy's living room at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night with 35 other people listening to this get up. He's got this grocery thing. It's supposed to be the new way of shopping. It was like a new shift, but it was 25 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing here? What is going on? Because we're all looking for that quick. And, you know, pyramid schemes do work if you get in early.
Oh yeah.
You get your money back. And so the first couple of people that you see, they actually got $4,000 in cash, you know?
Yeah.
And I was dating this woman. She's like, I got
that. Is the key, because it's going to collapse eventually. But if you're in early enough and somebody adds a lot more people into that's all it is. As long as you still are getting new people, you're going to make some money.
It's brilliant. I mean, whoever thought of the idea, it's pretty brilliant. And you really think, well, there's only going to one person.
Those saps that get in late, though, they're getting nothing and liking it.
No, they're not. And I mean, all of it'll ruin some relationships, my friend, because, you know.
No kidding.
These usually happen through friends. You know, hey, I got this great deal.
And you just hit on it. Somebody that, you know, you call whoever got you involved in that and say, you know, I just lost $500 or $600. You know, what the hell? And you know, you say, well, I made $1,500, but they don't have much sympathy for you because you know, going in, if you don't get in the right time on those, then it's a loser every time.
Like we say, if it seems too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Something that is really good and it is true is our grand new TV show. And I say brand new because it'll be our second year getting into college football, 6 weeks away from this Saturday, ABC 3340, called The Starting Lineup. We're going to have all kinds of great special guests. We're really revved up. This thing is going to be ready to fire. So we'll look forward to that. Of course, you can hear Kip right here on TKR. Need to Know and the Keeper and Curry Show. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Don't get scammed today, okay?
Tony, the moral of the story is don't trust anybody except Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry.
Thank you, my friend.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.